The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So we're at a turning point right now. It's a choice I believe will define not just the next few years, but the next few decades of human history, maybe longer than that. And I'm here today because I believe Virginia will make the right choice.
That what you all do here over the next 9 days will determine the next 4 years for this country. It will determine the next decade of rights and opportunity, or it will signal that we are going backwards.
Because you see, what happens in Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
We're going to win. I think we're going to win in Virginia.
They brought out all the big guns in Virginia, and they all told us just how important this election was. I mean, this is really a harbinger of things to come in 2022, 2024. Barack Obama led the way. And stunningly, Glenn Youngkin, he pulls off the upset victory last night in Virginia. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the audio version of this program. The live stream goes out on CRN Digital Talk Radio platform or channel number 3 on that platform. And then, of course, the video stream of this show is offered exclusively at our website. That's thetrumpet.com. Thetrumpet.com. Just put /live if you want to go over to the live stream page. And that's where you can also watch the program on demand once we post it after the live presentation. So they bring out the radical Democrat Party, the Communist Party, basically. They bring out all the big guns. Think about this for a moment. You've got Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. For some reason, they wanted him to campaign, even though his approval rating has just plummeted. They bring out all of the leaders of the party. They've got support from academia. They've got support from the school systems. All the school boards, they're right in step with Terry McAuliffe. The celebrity culture. The media, for sure the media. And then what about spending? Terry McAuliffe, I don't have the exact figures, but just loaded with campaign cash. And on comes Glenn Youngkin. And he only confronted him on that, get the parents out of the educational system. That was at the tail end of September. And then that really gave a lot of momentum to his campaign, but all of the big guns, what does it say? We've been saying over the last couple of weeks that the tide is turning. I think after last night's result, you can pretty well conclude that the tide has turned. This is a new direction for the United States. The radical left has been exposed. The lies have been exposed. The lies are not working the way that they used to. They were lying right up until the election last night, trying to say he's racist, he's an insurrectionist. They were even sending fake supporters to Youngkin rallies, brought to you by the Lincoln Project. These guys dressed as if they were in the KKK. And then, of course, the media, they were in on it because the photographers, they're always there to photograph someone who puts on the Confederate flag on his old jean jacket. This patch on the back that's just perfectly new. These actors showing up, basically. And then the media, they're right there to try to help fuel this narrative. Well, Youngkin's a racist. They all told us how important this would be. So what are they thinking now? What must be going on behind closed doors today? It's from Yahoo News. Biden, Obama, Harris all strike out for McAuliffe in Virginia. It says the leading lights of the Democratic Party, including President Biden, former President Obama, Vice President Kamala Harris, and voting rights activist Stacey Abrams. They brought her. She hasn't yet conceded, by the way. They brought Stacey Abrams out as well. It says all stepped up to bat in Virginia for Terry McAuliffe's gubernatorial campaign, and the result was a giant whiff. None excited voters enough to drag McAuliffe across home plate. None excited voters enough. Meanwhile, Republican Glenn Youngkin mostly campaigned on his own and ended up seizing the governor's mansion in Richmond. He just campaigned on his own. Now, of course, the Never Trumpers are going to come along today and say that, yeah, he distanced himself from Trump and he won. This is the kind of Republican we need. That's fake news, by the way. Donald Trump got him over the finish line, Youngkin. Donald Trump helped his campaign with his endorsement. So don't listen to the fake news. It says here, Obama traveled to Virginia to stump for McAuliffe late last month, urging voters to get fired up inside and then go vote. Come on now, let's get fired up. What did they have, 1,000, 1,500 people show up for Barack Obama? They can't seem to generate the fired-up support that you know who can. To take nothing away from Youngkin, he ran a good campaign, and he certainly benefited from some angry parents who didn't want to be shut out of the schools, who didn't want to be shut out of the lives of their children. That was a campaign that was fired up, for sure. Listen to Barack Obama from his stump speech. This is from a couple weeks ago, clip 3.
So we're at a turning point right now, both here in America and around the world. Because there's a mood out there. We see it, right? There's a politics of meanness and division and conflict, of tribalism and cynicism. And that's one path. But the good news is there's another path where we pull together and we solve big problems and we rebuild our society in a way that gives more and more people a better life. And that's the choice we face. It's a choice I believe will define not just the next few years, but the next few decades of human history, maybe longer than that.
There's the great leader saying how the politics of meanness on the other side, you know, that's where the insurrectionists and the racists are. And who's really resorting to despicable tactics? This morning in Doctrines, we went through the Ninth Commandment about just bringing a good report and, obeying the spirit of that command not to lie, not to be a false witness against your neighbor, but also not to bring gossip and accusation. That shows hatred and contempt. Satan's behind that. To accuse and accuse and accuse. He does it day and night. Revelation 9:12 and verse 10. It says here, the Ninth Commandment protects every upright and decent man in that it helps guard his reputation. Perhaps there's no more despicable sin than that of slander, the lie invented and spread abroad with intent to harm one's fellow man. They intend to harm with it, to spread despicable lies. And then when they're caught, well, the Lincoln Project, they just come out and say, hey, this is politics. This is what we should be doing all the time. Just lie about people. Well, they do it, and more people are seeing through it. I've talked to you often about God exposing these lies. Satan's the father of them. He was a liar from the beginning, Jesus said in John 8. Jesus said to those Pharisees, If you were Abraham's children, you'd be living the way Abraham did. He called them liars. You're hypocrites. You see it a lot in politics today. Here's Stacey Abrams from a couple weeks ago as well, clip 4.
But you all call yourselves a commonwealth, and that is one of the truest statements I've heard, because when your commonwealth pulls together, when you pour into each other, you change the face of this country. What you do will signal what can happen in 22 and 24. What you do will determine the kind of country we intend to be. What you do in the next 9 days will set the course of this nation for the next decade, and we need you to get the job done.
This was from the Yahoo story. Stacey Abrams, who lost the Georgia gubernatorial election in 2018, and we can add in parentheses, and still hasn't conceded, also vouched for McAuliffe's candidacy, campaigning for him in a number of prominently black churches in Virginia. They had to get out the black vote. So she went to the black churches. It says in the Yahoo piece, "Voting is an act of faith," Abrams said at the time, urging the churchgoers in the state to do the job. I mean, this shows you have some faith. I mean, this shows that you're really religious if you get out and vote Democrat. That's what she was saying to these black churches. Did you happen to see who the new lieutenant governor is of Virginia? It was a clean sweep, by the way. The governor, Republican. The lieutenant governor, Republican. Now the state attorney general as well. All Republicans. And listen to this one. This is from her acceptance speech, or her victory speech last night, upon winning the lieutenant governor race. Clip 12.
We ran an impossible, improbable campaign against God was exactly with us. Otherwise, we would never have made it.
God was with us, she said. That's, what is her name? Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears. We ran an impossible, improbable campaign. God was behind it. So she has a message, too. This is an African-American woman. How are the media going to handle this, by the way? Right? She's a woman. She's a minority. She's a Christian. And she loves guns. She loves guns. She loves the Second Amendment. That's right. And she wins in Virginia. Virginia is, some would say, dark blue. I mean, Fairfax County, that's the most populated county. That's the home of the deep state. And it goes Republican? I know about all the, you know, he won in the rural districts for sure, Youngkin. But he held his own in the bigger counties like Loudoun County. And you have to wonder what they were doing in Fairfax County. There was a lot of nefarious activity going on last year at this time. Today's the 1 year anniversary of the big steal, by the way. The big steal, the crime of the century. We'll get into that when we have time later on. But what the whole world was looking at Virginia last night, and I'm sure the poll watchers and the lawyers and all that, I'm sure they were ready for more thievery, because Virginia got away with it last year. It wasn't exposed as much as other states, not on this show anyway. But you look at, some would say that, well, Biden won by 10 points last year. So this shows how, I mean, what a tremendous job Youngkin did to overcome that kind of a deficit. I would submit to you that this might also show that Trump actually won the state last year. That there actually is support for Donald Trump's policies. Common sense, support the working man, bring back jobs. Don't destroy the economy. This is from another article by AP. It says, the elections were the first major tests of voter sentiment since Biden took office and suggested growing frustration. They also underscored that with Trump out of office, Democrats can't center their message on opposition to him. The results ultimately pointed to a potentially painful year ahead for Democrats as they try to maintain thin majorities in Congress. and they put a new focus on congressional Democrats' inability so far to pass Biden's massive domestic policy legislation. That's right. I mean, this basically makes Joe Biden a lame duck president, and he's only 10 months into his fake presidency. What's he going to be able to do? If Joe Manchin wouldn't support him before what happened last night, you think he's going to hop on board with Joe Biden's disastrous policies? Or Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona? Or even what about other Democrats? Or the Rhino Republicans? Some of them are already stepping aside. They're not going to run for re-election. See, Adam Kinzinger. He knows he's going to be destroyed politically. Liz Cheney, she's on the way out. They know it. So what is, and again, I don't want to take away from what the deep state, you know, the administrative state, what they can do, the damage that they can do on their own, even without Congress. But what is Joe Biden going to be able to do through Congress from this point forward? They brought out all the big guns. And look at what happened. We have a montage of the media meltdown last night following Youngkin's victory. This is clip two.
And the fact of the matter is that Joe Biden is not a popular president as we sit here this morning. In Virginia, a state he won by 10 points, he's at 45% approval rating right now.
This is a bad night for Democrats, and they control everything. It is, I don't know if it's a rejection of the Democratic Party or the party moving too much to the left or the party not delivering on progressivism. That's for the Democrats to work out, but it is a rejection.
Have we seen the emergence of the Delta variant of Trumpism?
Youngkin wants to be a governor that would purge those books. What's next? The biography of Dr. King?
I'm going to ban critical race theory. That is like us banning the ghosts.
Right.
There isn't any critical race theory. It's a legal theory not taught in public schools
in
Virginia.
It's so, what is fundamentally a racist idea, right? That you cannot teach the truth about Thomas Jefferson. You must give encomiums to Thomas Jefferson in school. Otherwise, that's critical race theory. If there's anything that makes a white parent uncomfortable is critical race theory.
Critical race theory, which isn't real, turned the suburbs 15 points to the Trump insurrection-endorsed Republican.
Education, right, which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching right about race.
And this wasn't about those pocketbook issues. This was about how white kids feel talking about what black kids go through.
We'll see the enduring power of the culture wars, and the Republicans are better at playing this game because it's essentially white identity politics. That works for Republicans.
The only reason that we're talking about critical race theory is because Glenn Youngkin had 18 months to convince people that he was not a fire-breathing, horns-out-of-his-skull racist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's be clear. Some of it was dog whistle.
Yeah.
Right? Some of it was dog whistle racism.
That these Republicans are dangerous. That this isn't a party that's just another political party that disagrees with us on tax policy. That at this point, they're dangerous. They're dangerous to our national security.
Right. And then the black Republican woman, she wins the lieutenant governor race. Listen to what she said last night, clip 10.
There are some who want to divide us, and we must not let that happen. They would like us to believe we are back in 1963 when my father came. We can live where we want. We can eat where we want. We own the water fountains. We have had a black president elected not once but twice, and here I am, living proof. In case you haven't noticed, I am black, and I have been black all my life.
It's good to point that out at the end, because the press, I guess, hasn't noticed. The first black female lieutenant governor in Virginia's history. I mean, you would think the media would be celebrating this. Instead, what are they saying? Nonstop. Racist. You're a racist. Youngkin's a racist. Republicans, dog whistle, critical race theory doesn't even exist. It doesn't even exist. I learned this last night. They're not using it in schools. Oh, okay. Okay, so they lie. You see? They lie. Here's a successful black woman, the first one to be lieutenant governor. And she's there in her victory speech saying, these demonic people, she didn't use those terms, I'll embellish it a little bit. These demonic people are trying to divide us. They're trying to pit one race against the other. I mean, you see it in some of the statements they make, even in the same montage where they say critical race theory doesn't exist. These people are deranged in their thinking. They really are. They've lost the ability to just think clearly. All they do is lie. All they do is spread the narrative. And they'll even send out plants. They'll send out fake supporters dressed in Confederate flags if it'll help their cause. Accuse, accuse, accuse. Here they've been pushing and pushing and pushing this critical race theory. And then it backfires on them over the last 4 to 5 weeks. And now they say, it doesn't even exist. It's like a ghost. It's just a ghost. It's a dog whistle. That's what McAuliffe kept saying all the way up to. He dug in his heels. These parents who dare criticize the school boards. They're racist. I was telling the students this morning just how much we heard this in the Great Falling Away when Satan was working to blot out spiritual Israel. He's hard at work at the moment blotting out our nations. He's the accuser of our brethren. And I mean, they hurled the accusations at us. All the Takachas, those people that wanted to destroy Mystery of the Ages. They said, oh, Mystery of the Ages, it's racist. Oh, the leadership in the Philadelphia Church of God, it's authoritarian. They're tyrants. And they're guilty of the very things they accuse others of. Listen to the lieutenant governor, the new lieutenant governor, last night, clip 11.
What we are going to do is we are going to now be about the business of the Commonwealth. We have things to tend to. We are going to fully fund our historically black colleges and universities.
Well, what a racist. Virginia's going to fund black colleges and universities? She's spearheading it. She's a black woman. I mean, this is crazy. People see through it, don't they? The lies are no longer working the way that they used to. I've got an article that brings that out from American Greatness. Here, it's been a train wreck of an illegitimate administration, and they just go on lying. Joe Biden yesterday saying Thanksgiving. Last year, it was like this, but this year is so much better because the economy's doing so much better. Because wages are rising, they're rising faster than inflation. Really? Do people believe that? The New York Times has even admitted that this Thanksgiving meal is going to be the most expensive in history. Out of control inflation. This is something you would think the communist media, the leftists in the media that go on about race. I mean, it's all they can talk about. It's all that they have. Here's a minority woman. A minority and a woman. This is like a double whammy positive, right? And yet they go silent. How refreshing to hear a woman get up and say, hey, I'm black. I've been black my whole life. And now I'm the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia. What a great nation. What a great country. The communists don't talk that way. No, they want to tell you that this is a horrible nation. It's been that way from 1619 right through to today. There's a through line, remember? A through line that runs right through to today. I mean, look, this is the state where the Charlottesville incident happened. So if all of this is true, all the Trump supporters, they're the KKK. You've got a lot of minorities in Charlottesville, Richmond, Fairfax County. What happened? Stacey Abrams hit all the black churches. What happened? People know. They know that these people are lying. That's how they secure victories most often. Lying and then add cheating on top of it. We've been going through these commandments in the doctrines class. And it's a wonderful study, by the way, particularly when you get into the depth of it, the spirit behind the commandment. And you see just how damaging it is to hurt someone's reputation or to steal and cheat and take from someone else's property. Glenn Youngkin, he gave a stirring speech last night as well after the results were in. I'm not sure, did McAuliffe concede yet? I know late last night he didn't. Here's a bit from Youngkin, the new governor in Virginia, clip 8.
This stopped being a campaign long ago. This is the spirit of Virginia coming together like never before. The spirit of Washington and Jefferson and Madison and Monroe and Patrick Henry of Virginia standing up and taking our Commonwealth back. Friends, this is where our government will go. We will go to the people, for the people. It will be of the people.
There he is, referencing all of these great founders that so many in the propagandist media, they hate them, they despise them, they want to blot them out. Here's a bit more of what he had to say about schools, that being such a hot topic over the last 4 to 5 weeks in Virginia. Clip 9.
We're going to restore excellence in our schools. We will invest the largest education budget in the history of the Commonwealth. We're going to embrace our parents, not ignore them. We're going to press forward with a curriculum that includes listening to parents' input, a curriculum that allows our children to run as fast as they can, teaching them how to think, enabling their dreams to soar. Friends, we are going to reestablish excellence in our schools.
What a crazy. Yeah, he just wants to give our children a good education and to include the parents in on the process. Anyone, imagine that. It's refreshing to see even parents. You know, we've been talking for so many years about a complete and total breakdown of the family, the institution of family, and it is. It's broken. But to see at least a few parents draw a line somewhere. As a nation, we're very well unaware of the communist infiltration, at least as it was going on decades ago, up through to the election steal last year. It's far too little, far too late. But to at least see some parents draw a line in the sand and say, enough! Now that's refreshing. It's nice to see parents standing up for their children, fighting for their children, fighting for their children's education, fighting to get lies and hatred out of the curriculum. At American Greatness, it says here, now is a terrible time to be in charge of everything. Everything's just falling apart all around us. And just like that montage brought out, it was Jake Tapper, they control everything. Well, when everything begins to explode in our faces, then Virginia happens, like last night. People want change. It says Democrats and their ideological allies control virtually every institution, from schools to media to government, but the more control they seem to gain, the worse things seem to get. there is a growing sense that something big is about to break. See, the tide has turned, as we've been saying. It says, while dispirited Republicans have lost faith in the fairness of the post-2020 election systems that permit ballot harvesting and unsupervised drop boxes, those tools can easily overcome the growing consensus. Sorry, those tools cannot easily overcome the growing consensus that the Democrats can't run anything without ruining it. Once powerful dirty tricks have been overused and no longer surprise the increasing cynical population, they've just been stealing, cheating, lying for so long. And yesterday, evidently, voters overwhelmed the system. It says only last week, pro-McAuliffe forces rebooted a Jussie Smollett-style hoax in which five Democratic Party activists posed as white supremacists campaigning for McAuliffe's political opponent. It's the kind of Russia collusion hoax frame-up that's getting harder to sell. See, the lies are not working like they used to. So many hoaxes. Impeach! Impeach! Ukraine! Russia! Hoax! Robert Mueller investigations! And what were they saying all through it all? Yeah, it's Trump and his people. They're the cheaters. They're the liars. They're the traitors. They're the ones stealing elections. And what's the truth? You know the truth. It says, especially when whoever cast the hoax hired a tiki torch clutching African American in khakis to pose as one of the supposed white supremacists. Again, Democrats can't run anything without ruining it. Apparently, even a hoax. They can't even come up with a good hoax. They're exposed in like seconds. This guy in the jean jacket that looked pretty well worn and this beautiful brand new patch on the back of his coat. And they want to take that image and destroy a man and destroy his reputation and destroy his campaign. It's all politics. Anything to get control. It's just like my father's written. We're getting a hard look at what they're willing to do in order to maintain their hold on power. They want power. And when they get the power, they want to abuse those under them. So shocking news coming out of Virginia. And then a razor-thin neck-and-neck race in New Jersey, of all places. Now, the remaining precincts that haven't turned over the results yet, they're around Newark. So Murphy's going to get in there. The machine will make sure of that. They're not going to take two hits on the chin. But still, it's a close race. And you know what Phil Murphy's opponent was saying in his campaign? I'm not going to have mandatory jabs. We're not going to have mask mandates. You're going to have freedom to decide for yourself. And wouldn't you know it, in a deep, dark blue state, that's a message that resonated. So much so that it nearly took down the communist. It says here, if Democrats fail to improve conditions but win the next cycle of elections anyway, few Americans will trust the results. A core of anywhere from 35 to 40% of the electorate will remain faithful to any yellow dog that runs with a D next to his name, but many more will reasonably ask questions about the fairness of the election process marred by censorship and tech-promoted hoaxes. There's all kinds of that. Last year, this is November 3rd. It's a good reminder. Why didn't they pull off the steal last night when they were so effective in doing it last year? Well, it's a good question. Maybe because too many eyeballs were observing. Maybe because the deficit was too much to overcome. Maybe Gateway Pundit suggests that maybe it's a head fake to just sort of get all of the auditors off their backs because nobody believes they're legitimate. Maybe they need one relatively legitimate election to just get people to stop going on and on about stealing the election. I mean, you talk about giving some fervency and energy to a campaign. I guess it's having the opposite effect, like this article brings out. After last year, I think a lot of conservatives felt demoralized. Well, what good is an election if they're just going to steal it, if they're just going to cheat? And then you look at some of the percentages in these rural counties, and Youngkin winning 85 to 15%, 90 to 10. They're not cheating out in those precincts. And the support for a Republican who didn't have much campaign money to work with, didn't get the big time endorsements, the support was overwhelmingly positive. And they turned out to vote. Look at how red that state is over in the southwest corner. This is from Gateway, the article I mentioned. One year, bringing up some history that's worth remembering a year on. One year ago today, Democrats committed the greatest crime in U.S. history. That's true. That's true. He's completely right. Democrats and the swamp, with assistance from the fake news and social media giants, stole a historic landslide election from President Donald Trump and Republicans. In a stunning late-night comeback, Democrats were able to steal every battleground state for Joe Biden, a candidate with no campaign, no crowds, no enthusiasm, and no charisma. It says Pennsylvania was the most impressive victory, quote unquote. Democrats worked for several days behind locked doors and with a never-ending supply of fresh ballots to steal a 795,000 vote lead from Donald Trump for a stunning victory for their candidate. Sleepy Joe says the coordination between states was impressive. Five battleground states announced a pause to their counting, then dropped tens of thousands of votes for Joe Biden in the wee hours of the morning to steal their state from Donald Trump. It says Biden won only 16% of counties, a historic low number of counties, by a supposed winner of a national election. A historic low, but he won the counties that he won. Oh, it was a landslide, evidently. So much so that he brought in a popular vote. He's the most popular president in U.S. history, if you can believe it. If you can believe the results of the last election, a year ago today, this man that's sleeping at the climate change conference, that's lying about the economy, among other things, the most popular in history? Not a chance. Trump won every bellwether county except one and every battleground race in the U.S. House. Republicans won 28 of 29 of the most competitive House races. Trump won Ohio, Florida, Iowa, handily something every winning candidate has accomplished since 1960. Biden won even fewer counties than Obama. And yet he's more popular than Obama in the Democrat Party. Don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself. President Trump won more of the black and Latino vote than any of his recent Republican predecessors since 1960. According to the New York Post, nationally, preliminary numbers indicated that 26% of Trump's voting share came from non-white voters, the highest percentage for a GOP presidential candidate since 1960. So when commentators come along saying that, hey, I think the key to victory for Youngkin was the fact that he didn't just go around with Donald Trump everywhere on the campaign trail. He created a little bit of distance from Trump. That's why that he won, because Trump is so unpopular. See, it's just exactly the opposite. We're supposed to look at those numbers from last year and say, Biden, the most popular in history. They don't even say that in the news media. They don't even say it because they know America is already given up on him. If they ever even supported him at all, this is not a popular president. That's not me. That's the major media. That's your legacy media, the talking heads. Every poll says it. go back to last year at this time, listen to the Fox News election. I had a flashback to that last night when I sat down to watch the results from Virginia, and I see Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, and then I see Britt Hume, and then Chris Wallace, and I was like, oh man, last year, it was just shocking. What was happening on Fox News? You want to talk about some other differences between why they maybe didn't dump 300,000 votes in Virginia last night like they did last year? Well, another reason is that the media last year, including the conservative media, including Fox News, they wanted Trump out. Now, at least among the conservatives, there's quite a lot more support for Youngkin. They want him in. They agree with the parents that are protesting at those school board meetings. Last year, as you know, Fox News was in on the steal, calling Arizona the way that they did. Virginia. Here's a sampling of their coverage from a year ago, clip 16.
Before you go to North Carolina from Georgia, apparently at the State Farm Arena, they were delayed 4 hours because of a water pipe burst in that room.
Check this a moment ago. Really, the numbers haven't moved. Martha, what did you say? There was a water main break there?
And there's just no reason for us right now to take a chance on calling Florida, where there is still a considerable amount of vote out. And we're not quite sure, given the high numbers of early votes. So we're just not quite there yet.
While it sure looks like Biden is going to lose Florida, the fact that the Fox News decision team hasn't called Florida yet says to me, maybe it's a small margin, but it's still up for grabs.
But what is this happening here? Why is Arizona blue? Did we just call it? Did we make a call in Arizona?
Well, let's see.
Now, there's a check mark. Did our decision desk make it?
Okay, time out. This is a big development.
Yeah.
The Fox News decision desk is calling Arizona for Joe Biden. That is a big get for the Biden campaign.
That's a real possibility.
Especially since they stopped counting at 10:30 at night. I'm not sure why. I mean, just because I guess everyone has to go home and they have to come back in the morning.
Yes, they're normal people, Martha. They're as opposed to us.
On Arizona?
Yeah.
You're 100% sure?
Yes.
And so all this pushback, you're going to say, we made the right call when we made it.
We made the correct call, and that's why we made the correct call when we made it. I'm sorry.
To get too froggy right now with Ohio, we're going to be careful, cautious, and earnest.
So wait a second. Now you're saying Georgia is probably not tonight. Michigan is probably not tonight. Wisconsin's not tonight?
I think there's a good chance that that's where we're sitting.
And Pennsylvania's not tonight.
The city of Milwaukee says that they will have all of their votes counted by 3 a.m.
Getting word from DeKalb County elections, due to technology limitations, the precincts accidentally reported zero of 191 until all precincts were uploaded and tabulated. We're working diligently to compile all votes and will continue the effort of processing absentee ballots at 11 a.m. Wednesday, November 4th. He is up 600,000 votes in Pennsylvania. So that he can make up 600,000?
It is theoretically possible, yes. Before that we were going to hear from the Milwaukee, that they were going to do a huge dump of vote from Milwaukee at 3 a.m., Eastern time. They've now pushed it back to 5 a.m.
But why does it take so long, Arnon? I mean, you've got 70% of the vote in some of these cases, and they've been counting, you know, all of these ballots all day long. You know, why? Why does it take so long?
An election today, right? I mean, they knew it was coming.
Here's the catch now. In Georgia, you got 6% of the vote out, all right? I mean, it's surmountable. You know, you got 5 million votes cast here. Why can't you call it?
Despite reports that Philadelphia had stopped counting its ballots, officials say more than 2 million ballots are still being counted, mostly in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
We mentioned before we started the show, at 5 a.m., we're going to get a big ballot dump at 5 a.m. Did we get it? Because
we
it looks
some.
Like that for the first time, percentage points ahead, 49.4 to 49.1. He takes his first lead, does Joe Biden.
Pennsylvania, I'm pretty sure, is going to take a few days or longer.
It shows you just how powerful the media is, how powerful they are. They call Arizona. There's no way that Trump could come back there. But these other ones, well, theoretically, it's possible in Pennsylvania. He's down 600,000. Yeah. We're told there's a lot of outstanding ballots. They didn't even call Florida till nearly midnight. And Trump crushed it in Florida. Same with Ohio. Even the states where it was obvious they exercised restraint. We want to make sure. Arizona, that's already Biden. We've put that in the book. Trump's just winning in all these other states. And then, just like Gateway says, these five states, they're in cahoots. We're going to suspend counting. There's a ballot dump coming later. And the Fox News people, the decision desk, they decided, yeah, we're not going to call anything. Now, I don't know all the reasons, but last night they were calling it. There was one prominent guy that's in the know. He tweeted out, 8-ish, I think it was, "I've seen enough. Youngkin wins." So when the media decide, you see, it really does have an impact. The media anointed Joe Biden last year. You remember, it was painful history to watch. What is going on? Ballot dumps? Water main breaks? Boarding up windows? Gateway says, it says, and President Trump made sizable gains with large populations of Latinos and residents of Asian descent, including ones with the highest numbers of immigrants. Data from Catalyst confirmed Trump won more women and voters of color in 2020 than he did in 2016. So these are the actual numbers, the data. He was gaining in popularity over the course of his presidency, even as he was coming under fire from these communists in the Democrat Party. Constantly lying, cheating, stealing, persecuting any way that they could. Says, for the past year, Democrats have ruled as if they hold supermajorities in the U.S. House and Senate, pushing the most insane and suicidal policies in history. They even surrendered a war to a terrorist state and armed them with billions of dollars in weapons while leaving Americans behind to fend for themselves. Americans who are still trapped in Afghanistan. But why not? If you can steal any state at will, why worry about elections? Says on Tuesday, Glenn Youngkin won the governor's race in Virginia. He was an impressive candidate, and it was a stunning win. As Joe Hoft reported earlier today, 1 year ago, 300,000 votes magically appeared for Joe Biden in the middle of the night to give him the win in Virginia. As I recall, I think there were quite a few calling Virginia for Biden, even as Trump was in the lead, because they just knew. They knew it was impossible for Trump to hold on to that lead. They knew Biden won Arizona. And what they couldn't prove that night, they waited. And they had told us in advance how that it was going to take a long time. Remember the blue wave? I mean, the red wave initially, but then here's another red mirage montage that we put together from last year. This is before the election. Last year, and look at what it was exactly out of the playbook. This is clip 17.
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
The reason we talk about a red mirage is, in fact, because we believe that on election night, we are going to see Donald Trump in a stronger position than the reality actually is. When every legitimate vote is tallied and we get to that final day, which will be someday after Election Day, it will in fact show that what happened on election night was exactly that, a mirage. It looked like Donald Trump was in the lead, and he fundamentally was not.
That there's nothing illegitimate about taking a few extra days or even weeks in order to make sure that all the votes get counted.
On election night, Donald Trump will be ahead significantly in a majority of states, including the swing states that will decide the election. Then over the next few days, mail-in ballots will be counted and the numbers could shift in Joe Biden's favor. But will Trump accept that outcome?
It's after the advisors come and the media tells them, look, you're not going to get enough votes to be able to hit that magic number of 270 electoral college votes. So what if a losing candidate simply refused to concede? What if there is no concession speech?
Under no scenario will Donald Trump be declared a victor on election night. And we think that that's really fundamental to how we want to approach tomorrow.
It's just remarkable. It's exactly the way it unfolded. Maybe the fact that we're only a year removed from it. They pulled out all the stops last year to secure the steal. And maybe they just weren't quite bold and audacious enough to do the exact same thing 12 months later. All eyes were on Virginia, after all. They told us they were going to steal it. Then they stole it. And then when people say, you stole it, they say, no, it was perfect. It was the most secure in history. Here's that montage. Play 18.
I did it right. We did it right. This was a secure election.
And our investigators have seen no widespread fraud.
No substantial evidence. No evidence whatsoever.
There is no evidence.
But that evidence simply is not there. That evidence has simply never been amassed.
Nobody's offered any evidence.
And there is no evidence of systemic fraud.
There is absolutely no evidence.
And when absolutely no evidence of fraud, it just doesn't exist.
There's no evidence.
There's no fraud.
There's no actual evidence.
There's not evidence of that.
No evidence.
In the most secure in American history.
This was the most secure election we've ever had, and it was one of the most well-run elections we've ever had.
And if you say that it wasn't, you are a liar. You're embracing the big lie. Listen to this one, clip 19.
We're told that, you know, Goebbels and the great lie, you keep repeating the lie, repeating the lie. There are decent people out there who actually believe these lies because they've heard it again and again. You say it and say it and say it and say it. The degree to which it becomes corrosive is in direct proportion to the number of people who say it.
Big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The 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 big lie.
This big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
This big lie.
Big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The 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 big lie.
Who are the ones saying it over and over and over again? And then the same refrain after January 6th. They're all trying to cover up the truth about November 3rd, about January 6th. And they lie to do it. They lie to do it. You saw it in the opening montage or the montage we played at the start, near the start. Racist, racist, racist. The accuser of our brethren is cast down. He's just accusing night and day, lying night and day. Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. No truth whatsoever. It says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. That is who he is. For he is a liar and the father of it. He's the father of the big lie. The big lie that last year's election was just perfect. It was totally secure. If we have time, maybe later this week, we did pull together some material on that history, but of course there were a lot of other things that we needed to cover on today's show as well. But it's important to go back and to remember what happened just a year ago. It's hard to believe, 12 months from today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.